Distance can be a major barrier to accessing quality healthcare on time. That's where Angel Flight East comes in. Welcome to Takeoff Talk with Angel Flight East, a nonprofit dedicated to providing free flights for children and adults who need medical treatment far from home. We don't know how many people forego medical care because they don't have accessible transportation. And that's what this podcast is here to change.
Hey, frequent flyers, welcome back to another episode of Takeoff Talk. Today we have AFE passenger Ken with us. Hey, Ken.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your story with our listeners. To kick us off, can you tell us a little bit about your medical journey and what brought you to Angel Flight East?
I have cancer. I first discovered it a little less, or about 3.5, 4 years ago, the latest round of it. I have stage 4 prostate cancer, so I will leave the earth with prostate or with cancer. But I also have a condition called Lynch syndrome. And that is a condition that is a genetic defect that breaks the genetic chain and makes it very, very easy for you to come down with cancer. When I first discovered all this about 3.5, 4 years ago, the only cancer I had was in the prostate and then some removed lymph nodes. And through the lack of concern on the part of my urologist with scary signs, I was allowed to basically bleed for 6 months before he decided to go in and take a look to find out that I also had it now in my bladder. It then traveled into my ureters and into both kidneys. So despite the fact that I have prostate cancer and I'm taking a hormonal therapy treatment for it that has kept it very well in check, I last year was in the hospital 4 times, having lost a huge amount of blood. I've been told by my primary care that, you know, literally was dead 3 different times last year.
Oh my gosh.
My problem was that I would attend, or I go to a hospital that's nearby me, and I try to coordinate the doctors there when all this first started. And I signed up with an oncologist who's been wonderful all the way through it. But the group that takes care of my, I'm not going to give any names, but the group that took care of my prostate, the doctor got upset. He admitted he made a mistake by not trying to get to this in time, but he was not happy that I had somebody else to take care of my care. We had discussed when I first went in with him the thought that I would take this in stages, that I didn't want to rush. The other opinion I had at the time was to do chemotherapy. I did not want to do chemotherapy first thing. So this hormonal therapy and the subsequent things that the oncology group has done for me has, you know, kept me above it, other than the mistakes that this urology in the group had caused. The problem was that both the urologist at this hospital and his assistant insisted on, they said the only answer was to remove both kidneys and the bladder and go on dialysis.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was like going from 0 to 100 miles an hour, you know, as far as my life expectancy. Mm-hmm. So it finally, the situation with this urology group that makes it so tough is that even a local Cincinnati Cancer Advisors is a very great group we have here in Cincinnati. Even in 2 meetings with them, they would never recommend or not recommend doctors there. But right, a very smart older doctor, expert on cancer, handed me a post-it and it had the name of a doctor at the group. I had to drive 40 miles across town to get to this doctor. I nearly bled out that time. I was in intensive care. This is in November. He was happy. I mean, when he finally was able to go up and work on things, He worked on the left kidney. My right kidney has pretty much died because of all the scar tissue caused by this first doctor. We knew that it hadn't been working or had not been functioning for a while. So he was able to go up in the left kidney and he really pulled off some things. So in the first part of December, he said, I've got an appointment set with you for our specialist who removes kidneys. We both agreed that I needed to get the right kidney removed, which was the only thing in my body with cancer. I went into the meeting, and this new doctor, urologist, walks in and he looks at me and says, so what can I do for you today? And I said, well, doc, I said, you're scheduled to take, or we're going to schedule taking my kidney out. And he looked at me real odd and he says, nobody told me that. He said, I only left 5 minutes for this. And I was like, okay, all we need to do is set an appointment. And everything with, other than this one really good doctor, everything with this urology group has been that they're very abrasive. They're very abrasive. So he walked out here, he looked through the computer and he says, well, you need to go to the Cleveland Clinic. He says, you're too complicated. I said,
Oh.
doc, we're not talking about anything complicated. We need to take a kidney out.
Yeah.
That's all. And the attached plumbing. And I was so upset because that was on a Monday, and I took that weekend before then preparing myself to sit down and have a Jesus come to meeting about removing my kidney. And I just walked out devastated. And I called my urologist, the good one, Dr. Delworth, and I said, you know, doc, he blew me off. He didn't even know what was going on. And he said, well, let me check into it. And he come back and he said, well, Ken, he said, you know, he can't do it. He said, I tried another urologist and he can't do it. And he said, you got to understand that you're a little bit of this, that you can be abrasive. And that just did it. And I had had a meeting because of how complicated things are, which they are truly complicated. This wouldn't have been a it wasn't a complicated procedure. But I reconnected with my doctor in Cleveland. He asked me when I could come in. I said, anytime. Of course, he came up with 2 days after Christmas would be the procedure, and a day after Christmas, I would go through a whole day pre-testing and meetings and things like that. And I had my right kidney removed, and it was all an adventure. But the things that took me to you guys was the fact that I probably could have driven it. I have an old pickup truck I just picked up. I have a Hyundai that I'm waiting for Hyundai to replace the motor, but I bought an old pickup truck from a friend. We had all this bad weather right around Christmas in Cincinnati and Cleveland, and I probably could have tried it, but I was able to get it set up with you guys. And boy, what an adventure.
Yeah, I was gonna say, just hearing your story, especially all that you're going through, and then to add in the extra layer of stress from a medical care team that you put all your trust in, that
Oh.
ultimately did not give you the answers or help you in any type of way that you thought they would. And then also, I was thinking about you live in Cincinnati where you have a lot of great healthcare systems around you. So it wouldn't even be a thought that you may have to travel for your medical care.
Well, the way I explain that is two things. Number one, if you or any of the listeners are Seinfeld fans, I've got the Elaine folder now, which because I became upset with this urology group concerning wanting to take all the organs out, and none of my other doctors, they were all like, no way, don't do that. You're way too healthy. And I am, you know, I'm of a good weight. I take care of myself as much as I can. But I think he looked in there and saw that I had butted heads with a couple of the other doctors there. The other thing about it is, I am absolutely in the hands of the best doctor in Ohio and Cleveland Clinic, and quite possibly in the country. His name is Dr. Waite. He's got some other different ideals. We haven't worked out logistics yet, but we'll get to it in a little while. But I do so bless you guys for being able to get me up there, because it literally we had a very bad storm down here, and it was hitting up there the day before, and We literally took a window of time, or of a time when there wasn't an ice over, to try to sneak through it. And we got through it. So,
That was Scott Miller.
no, this one was with David Talbert. He was
Oh,
the
he would be.
trip back. Yeah.
Yeah. Scott, I think he flew you to Cleveland,
Correct.
but he's amazing. He was actually one of our pilot of the years, I believe, 2 years ago at our annual gala. So he does a lot for us.
Of everybody that I've dealt with there, he was the one who was the most no problem kind of guy. But he was very, he offered to come back up and get me. But again, we were in between Christmas and New Year's, and everybody, it was really hard to schedule. I wound up having to stay in a very nice hotel up there for a few extra days just to, to make arrangements to get down, which was good for recovery. Yeah, David, on the other hand, was somebody, there's a lot of common connections there. And David literally pulled it out of the hat on the day before a huge ice storm was hitting. And we sat down at Signature in Cleveland and waited for the window when it looked like he thought he might get through the ice.
Oh my gosh.
And when we got in the plane, he wiped off all the plane. And he had, Scott had a low wing plane, and David had an old Cessna that had the high wing. And David, before we taxied off, the tower came on, and they said, if you have any doubts, we're going to keep maintain contact with you. And he looked at me and he says, it's cockpit silence. I said, no problem.
Yeah.
So we had this really rough time, and then we got up above this whole storm system moving in, and I got pictures that would knock you out.
Yeah, I bet it was amazingly beautiful too.
It was both ways, and that's not to take anything away from Scott. Scott was, with the type of plane Scott has, a Cirrus, Scott was able to kind of bank it around, and we kind of took a turn in so that we flew over the Hall of Fame and things like that. Yeah, it was a pure pleasure up and back, and quite honestly, everything along the way. David, inhaling everything out of the, again, during the holidays, handling everything out of the office, or I know sometimes he was talking to me remote. The crazy thing, and I teased him about it, but until David called me and said he could come up and get me on a Thursday, David, your coordinator, had me set up to fly with a gentleman from Pittsburgh on a Friday on the weekend before the Bengals played the Steelers in Pittsburgh, and the person who was going to fly me down was a steel scrapper. So I just imagined myself up in the air for 2 hours flying around with a guy that I'm a pretty diehard Bengals fan, and he's a
A
pretty,
diehard
I'm,
Steelers
well, I
fan.
mean, yeah, he, he sounded like he probably was. I didn't see, Mr. Whipple coming out there to get in the airplane. So yeah, it was a pleasure all the way around. And I joke, I mean, there's been some pain. I'm healing great, but it was truly an adventure. I enjoy, especially the flight part of it, but I enjoy even the other things. I had the misfortune of they only have double rooms up there, and my first room wasn't working out. The gentleman was in dementia, but they moved me into another room, and this in the neurology department, and this gentleman had actually had a brain seizure in Saudi Arabia while he was there designing a golf course for Jack Nicklaus.
Oh my gosh.
He had been to six, he was my age, he had been to six different hospitals before he got there. And they had it diagnosed right. And he was so bad off, distinguished gentleman. And the only contact we really had, other than to do a fist bump one time, was when they brought him back in the room. They take him for walks. And he looked at me and I'm not sure what he wanted me to understand, but he kind of pointed and put his finger up on the clock on the wall. And I don't know what happened there. We were going to pray together, but they were doing some other things with me. But beautiful family, beautiful wife. Just a tragic, tragic thing. Broke my heart. Bro
That's
absolutely broke my heart.
What would you have done without Angel Flight? I know you said you would have driven if you had to, but would you continue to drive back and forth if you had follow-up treatments too?
Well, and I was thinking about how I would answer this because I don't want to burn a bridge with you guys. But David made it clear that anytime I needed to get up there, he would be glad to fly me up. Just give him enough time. It seems as though all of your pilots are people that are at least part-time business owners or part-time retired or whatever. They can afford an airplane, but they don't necessarily have to go to work every day. But it's kind of funny when I get back here and I'm starting to recover, my urologist down here calls me, or first his secretary calls me, his scheduler, and says, "Well, we need to get you in for another look in your kidney." And I said, "Ma'am," I said, "I just left the hospital last week." And she said, "Oh," she said, "you were in Cleveland Clinic and got a new, or got your kidney taken out." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." So about 2 hours later, he calls me. He says, "Well, you got your kidney taken out." And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well," he said, "I needed to get you scheduled in here." And I said, "You know, doctor," I said, "right now, Dr. Waite in Cleveland Clinic is aware of everything going on." But I said, "I don't know that he looked at the left side, but," and I did, I followed up with Dr. Waite's office and just said, "Look, if it's an overnight thing, discuss it." I just did this yesterday. "But if it's something that you want to go ahead at this point," I should explain this, "at this point, what they would do with me is to take care of me with outpatient type, no anesthesia type of thing for what they want to do when I go back up for my follow-up in April. If they go up into the left kidney, then I'm going to have to take anesthesia. They won't hold me at the hospital because it's standing room only. But they'll want me to not drive or anything." So, and all these guys are very strict about that, and I understand. But then my choice would be, and I've held off on trying to schedule anything, but then once I hear from Cleveland Clinic, if he says, "Yeah, we're going to go ahead and take a look at the left," then my plan is to contact you guys and see if you can put it up there, and I'll contact David. And David said, "I'd be glad to."
Yeah,
David.
I was going to say, I think one of my favorite parts about Angel Flight is just the relationships that develop with the pilots and the passengers. We have a lot of pilots that will fly somebody and then they'll kind of communicate amongst themselves and fill the flight for us, which makes it so much easier. And I think the pilots just become an extension of your kind of support team. And it's just so great to see that they will switch around their schedules to fly somebody wherever they need to go.
What initially impressed me with David was that he literally called me in the morning. They had taken my name down, and he literally called me in the morning because I was going to go on Friday. And he said, "I think I can get up there and find a window to get back out." And I had already started to book the room again. And I got on the phone and canceled the room. And then called David back, got the hell out of the room because it was close to 11, and went down to Signature, that's a little airport up there, and let him know that I was there. David owns a plumbing business, a large plumbing business, and he lives in a town in northern Kentucky. I'm from Kentucky originally, and he owns a town in northern Kentucky, or he lives in a town in northern Kentucky called Crittenden. And he owns this large plumbing company. And my father started out his plumbing business in Crittenden, Kentucky. My dad was the mayor there. So,
No
yeah.
way.
So we started clicking right away. We were into old cars. We were into, we chatted about a lot of different things. But it was so cool because we're sitting there in Signature's lobby and we're going, he's going, "Do you think? Do you think? Do you think?" And he's looking at this map, and I can't tell the difference. And he says, "I think we can do it." And I had a catheter, and he said, "Do you need to do anything?" I said, "No, let's hit it." So we were out there, and he's got this funky brush brushing off the wings, and we got up in the air. But again, I took some pictures that are just absolutely incredible. And he says, "This is why I do it." And for David, his goal in life, and he's 50-ish, so he's still a very young man for it, but his goal in life is to, at least be able to lease and charter planes for different corporate types of things.
Yeah, that's
So.
amazing. See, these are the stories that we never hear. Unfortunately, or fortunately, our pilots are extremely humble. So we just think of them as doing the flight from A to B, but we never hear like the little intricacies that they do and how they go above and beyond for passengers as well. We know it happens. They just don't talk about it, which I get the lucky job of getting to brag about them because they're too humble to brag about themselves.
Well, and I will tell you, both pilots were extremely, extremely decent people. And David in the office, I mean, they were ready. I went up there and I started to get my bring my carry-on bag, and I thought, well, heck, you know, I'm traveling, I don't want to lose things. And they have a little blue zip-up bag from Cleveland Clinic, and I wound up leaving there with three bags of crap. And David calls me the next morning or the second morning. We're trying to get something lined up because, again, all this weather moving in and the holiday. So it's the perfect storm. And David calls me. He says, Ken, we're happy to book a flight for you. And I was even looking at going to bus station and trying to take a bus down because 16-year-old dog and, you know, getting in your own environment and all those kind of things. But the funniest thing with David, too, was that when he wanted to fly out to his airport nearby here rather than flying into the close airport, which was fine with me, he said, I'll drive you home. And I said, oh, I said, well, there's a short way and a long way. What kind of car you got? And he says, I got a Honda Civic. And I said, oh, that was the first car I ever bought my daughter. And he says, this is my son's car. I just bought it for him. And it was just like
Small
bang,
world.
bang, bang. So
Yeah, so much
everything we were
fun.
saying, you know, it clicked. And I
Yeah.
think he appreciated too that part of my journey has been when I look at folks now, I'm not old by any means. I mean, I can go out right now and I've been sneaking out and walking about a mile at a time, but I just can't walk my dog that fast. And that's been integrated in our life for 16, 17 years. But when I look at people now, you know, I've never learned anything from a book that I just looked at the cover. You know, and everybody's got a story. I've also learned, and I think some of the hormonal therapy has happened with that without going into any detail, but I take a $16,000 a month drug to keep my libido down, if that gives you any idea.
Oh no.
Yeah, plus I get a shot every 6 months. I'm due for that too. But that it's worked, you know, and I'm happy for that. But, you know, getting back to it, I don't think there's been anything that my life has been extremely hard, and I expected all kinds of issues with this, and I don't think there's been anything that as it came up that it might be an issue, there was an answer. And especially with you guys, but there was an answer and it kept moving forward.
Yeah, that is amazing. What is one final thought you would want to leave our listeners with?
I think that what you do is very noble. I was very careful because my hospital that I go to, the general hospital itself, called me the next day when they saw it pop up on my chart and wanted to know how things went. And she says, oh, I'm going to spread the word. And it was all almost like the trail I hike on. I wanted to say, no, don't, because these guys are really good. And I don't want to spread the word around because I won't be able to use them. But no, I really think it's amazing what you do. It was awful last week when the plane crashed into the hill, or the helicopter crashed into the plane. But then a couple of days later, when the medical plane crashed, that really broke my heart. I don't know what it was, but that really went to my core. And while I was in Signature waiting for David to come up, there were actually three jets that were chartered that doctors came through with organs, you know, sat for a minute or two, the jet landed, they were back out there, they were taken off. So you scratch the surface on something like this, and I meant that as a joke earlier, but I would recommend you guys to anyone The one thing I would be careful of with regard to who might be interested in using you is mobility, because most of these guys are flying pleasure craft, you know, so each plane had its little idiosyncrasies, but, you know, that's what made it fun.
Yeah.
That's what actually was, you know, but yes, I mean, polite, not trying to butter up. It just everything, especially with the hospital, I'm very well recovered now. Stress has been the biggest thing. Last year was probably the most stressful period of time I've ever had in my life. And to segue right into this, and to be fair, I was looking at towards the end of late, I was actually told that I needed to do the living will and all those things right now when I was in the hospital one time last year. And now I'm looking at conceivably another, as long as I stay on top the potential for other cancers, I'm looking at another 8 to 10 years. So
that's incredible. We love to hear that too. And I will always just shout out the pilots, especially the quick friendship that you built with Dave. And David, our flight coordinator, will be very upset if I did not shout him out either, because the
all
man
three of them
around the clock, and the fact that he was working so hard during the holidays, he did not tell me that either. So I'm going to have to go ask why he did not tell me he was working on Christmas, but all we just try to make it happen as easy as possible.
I don't think I heard him on Christmas.
Okay, good. He works.
Yeah. I don't think I heard him on Christmas, and I know I made an effort not to, but
yeah.
I don't think, but yeah, every other day around there, we probably had some sort of conversation and everything again. I, you know, you feel like you're a burden enough when you go through something like this. And again, when you look at other people and you see what they may be going through, but for me, it was, yeah.
You are never a burden. I feel like I'm a burden to David. So if he has to deal with me every day, anybody else is probably a breeze.
Well, I'll say this about that. I was blessed with a very nice career most of my life. I'm very mechanically inclined, and I joke that I made women happy all my life. And that is because I was a kitchen designer.
Oh,
and I loved the line, and I made a lot of men happy too. But I always joke that it's not work if you enjoy what you're doing. And if you can stop and pause and look at things and say, instead of how do I get out of this, if you can stop and pause and say, now what's the next best way I can help through this situation or through this ordeal or through this trip or whatever it is. And, you know, it was all about that. I mean, you call me and tell me you'll book a flight. If I'd had one carry-on bag that would have held all this stuff that I'd been smart enough to carry, I would have taken a flight home. But then here's a pilot calling me the next day and said, Ken, I think I can get two windows, one up, one back. And I'm like, this sounds fun. I got to do this.
Well, who wants to fly commercially when you can fly private?
Oh, and don't take anything away from Scott either. Scott and I, it was more like buddy-buddy kind of stuff, just talking about general stuff. But with David, you know, we clicked on a few different things. So, and I do think I'll probably have to use you in April, because I'm pretty sure the doctor, he does not want me going to the doctor down here, the urology group.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that he's going to say, you know, no, we'll go ahead and we'll do this. And I might be able to cheat. Yeah, that place is so big. I might be able to drive and then go out and sneak into my car. But most of them, they will not let you drive after anesthesia. So,
yeah. Well, we will be ready and willing to help you whenever you need us again, especially
okay.
David and Scott and David, our flight coordinator. I'll throw him into the mix too. But thank you so much for sharing your story. It's incredibly powerful, and we're just so happy we were able to help you.
It's the first time in 4 years I have felt like I've got some real future. And it's the first time in the last year that I wasn't, you know, that I could start to take away the thought of the next step, which would be, you know, making arrangements and things like that. And you guys were such a big part of that. One of the questions you had was, how big a circle of friends? I didn't have a circle of friends. I didn't have anyone that I could rely on to take me up. My only friend that was taking me through all this She just decided that it was too scary to be around me with everything going on. So just like the doctors, she said it's too complicated. I can't deal with it. So, I've simplified it. I took out the bad stuff. And my next step is to start doing the things that I need to do, which include working with a doctor that coordinates with everybody else and working with people like you along the way that help me to get to where I can just get it taken care of. I want the minimal amount of involvement of anybody medical, just enough to what it takes to get it done and so that you can move on. I know everybody in the business or associated with it are extremely busy, and I try not to be a burden on any of them. I feel very blessed by everything that's happened to me, and I think there's been a will and a way with the Lord. So
Yeah, well, now you're in the Angel Flight family and you're stuck with all of us forever.
I'm very proud to be a part of that family. It's a great new family. The other thing that happened through all this is that I have a daughter who is out on the West Coast, and we have recently reacquainted it a couple of years ago, and she really got involved in this. And the sad thing of that is that once I got home and things were okay, she's in LA and they pretty much went without electric and was watching fires on the hill above her. So it's just, oh, the world keeps throwing things at you. She's okay. They kept her home, but it's just amazing how you go from one thing to the next to the next. And for me, it was just, I can't tell you enough how just how incredibly smooth everything went. You know,
Yeah.
I'm going to knock on wood here.
You have such a positive outlook on life as well, which is extremely inspiring given what you've gone through so far.
I would recommend to any of your listeners who are in a medical situation, who, whether they're religious or not, the area I live in was a strong hunting ground for Tecumseh. And I would recommend that any of them go and look up, and if they think enough of it, buy a copy and hang it on the wall. But read Tecumseh's Prayer, because Tecumseh's Prayer is about accepting, go into it with the light of knowing what you've accomplished in life, and go into your death flight or your death knell with the pride and all of that. It also says, wave your hand in pride at anyone you pass on the trail. And my funeral of sorts will be that both Jack and I will, our remains will be scattered on the cemetery that I was in. And we have a Tecumseh's prayer plaque that will go up in front of the cemetery. And it really, it I can't tell you enough, if you read that every day, it doesn't matter what religion you are, it's a mantra for life. It's absolutely every line in it. And I found out about it through a war movie. So, it's got to be good if you can get something that heavy into a war movie. So
Yeah, definitely, for sure. I'm going to have to link that in our show notes for everybody to see.
do. It's Act of Valor is the movie if they want to see the bits of it, but you can pull it up, and of course Amazon's got 14 different varieties, framed and unframed.
Yeah.
But yeah, read it. I mean it really, if you know anyone going through pain, have them read it. But
Amazing. Thank you again, Ken. This was the best way to start my day talking to you. So please call us
was the best
anytime
for
you
me.
need this. If you ever need to just chat with somebody, David and I are always here.
I'm very proud to have been considered for this. I actually had bought myself a couple of gas cards, and I told David, I said, Dave, I'll be glad to give him the gas cards. These guys are spending fuel money. And he says, no, Ken. He says, now you're paying for the trip. You can't do that. He says, but we have a podcast. And I said, I'm there,
Yeah.
man.
Amazing. Well, thank you again, and I hope you have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye.
That's it for today's episode of Takeoff Talk with Angel Flight East. If you want to learn more about our services, please visit our website at www.angelflighteast.org or call our office at 215-358-1900. Join us in our mission. If you're a healthcare worker or a patient in need of air travel and flight services, AFE is here for you. Subscribe to the show so you can hear more stories. Join us again next week right here on Takeoff Talk.